This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so I want to talk to you. We're in our series entitled King's Kids, and it has a lot to do with us understanding who we are and the characteristics or the traits we should have when we come to Jesus. Because this is our, you know, the week that we celebrate Jesus, I thought we should just talk all about Jesus today. And so my lesson is Jesus is King. Jesus is King. And there is a concerted effort to take Christ out of Christmas. And I just want to boldly declare to you today that it is really not season's greetings. It is not really happy holidays. It is certainly not Merry Xmas, but it is Merry Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. The word Christmas derives from two words, of course, the Greek word Christ, which we understand, but the Latin word behind that, which is mas, and it's a celebration. It means celebration. So really, the Christmas is a celebration of Jesus, and it's his birthday, and we ought to celebrate him for being born, because if he had not been born, he wouldn't have walked this earth and done all the miracles he did, and then went and died and shed his blood and rose again with all power for you and for me, giving us direct access to God and eternal life. And so we thank God for that. So let's talk a little bit about the Christmas story. Matthew, the first chapter, and the 18th verse, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, and that just means engaged, to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." And that just means that he was just going to break up with her secretly. He wasn't going to make her look bad and those kind of things. Verse 20, we pick it up. It says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins.'" And that's what the word Yeshua means. It means in the Hebrew, God is our salvation. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated God with us." You know, at the beginning of this pandemic, there were some things that I spoke into your lives, and I hope that you are holding fast to those confessions of faith. And one thing that I told you is that God is with us and that God is greater. And so from the foundation of the earth, God knew he was going to send his son Jesus, you know, to be born and to ultimately die for us. And that's why they said he's going to be called God with us, and God is with you everywhere. I don't care where you are, God is with you. I don't care if it's a good place or a bad place, God is with you. And then the other thing I told you, by the time this pandemic is over, and we'll be glad when it's over, that you're going to be in a far better place than when you were in the beginning. And that is something that I spoke prophetically into your life that you have to hold on to, that you have to take by faith. I've been talking to so many different members and seeing God do so many great things. And so Lady LaConte and I got a chance to run by the Johnsons' brand new home yesterday. They just moved into it. You probably saw it on Facebook. And I was just so excited because I know that the word works, and I know that faith works, and I know, just like the title of my lesson today, that Jesus is King. And if you put him at the top of the list, how many know he's going to take care of the rest of the list? So listen, I've got two simple points. I'm not going to hold you a long time, but I know this is going to be a blessing. So if you can lend me your ear and your hearts, well, I'm going to walk you through these next 2 points, and it's going to be a blessing. So for all my note takers, and Pastor knows he has a whole lot of note takers because we're all online today, I'm going to give you my two simple points. Okay, point number one, we'll put that on the screen. Point number one is he is the greatest king. So we said Jesus is king, but not only is he king, he is the greatest king. And when we were reading in Matthew, it was saying that which the prophet spoke, and it was really talking about the prophet Isaiah. And he prophesied about the coming of Jesus. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, one of my favorite verses when we get around talking about Christmas and those kind of things, it says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7 says, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." So we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are just passing through. We are in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, everything that you need and everything that I need is already available to us. And there is no lack in the kingdom of God. And there is no shortage in the kingdom of God. And we have to learn that even in the midst of a pandemic, we are in the kingdom of God. And everything we need is already available to us. And so while we are in this world and there is a government, there's another government that we live by. And the Bible says that the government will rest upon his shoulders. It'll be a great government full of peace. And he said to peace there will be no end. In other words, there will always be peace in this government. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. Watch this, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. Somebody say or type, Jesus is king. He is king. And so he's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and there is nobody like him. And so I want to take you to Luke 4, because, you know, Jesus, you know, we're so thankful that he was born, but not only was he born, he grew up, you know, and he grew up around the things of God. And then he started his ministry when he was 30 years old. And in a minute, I'm going to take you to Luke, the fourth chapter, but let me give you the backdrop. You all remember how John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. He would say, you know, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the earth. You know, I'm not even, you know, worthy enough to unlatch your shoelaces. You know, I baptize you with water. He baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so John is the forerunner. He's talking about this. And in Luke chapter 3, we see that John baptizes Jesus. The dove comes over him and everything. And then watch this. Watch this. In chapter 4, he goes into the wilderness. He fasts 40 days. He fasts 40 nights. When he's done with that, the first sermon, the first place he goes to is his hometown of Nazareth to preach his first message. So let's hear what Jesus' first message sounds like. Luke, the fourth chapter, and the 14th verse. I'm going to read verses 14 through 19. It says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom," it was something that Jesus always did. See, parents, let me just help you. We got to raise our kids in church. When Jesus was 30, it was his custom. We always go to church. And when I grew up, I was 18 years old, going into the Marine Corps. You know, once I got to my first duty station, the first thing I did was I had to find a good church. Why? It was our custom that's what we do. And so, you know, I know things have been crazy. It's a pandemic and, you know, but this is all going to be over soon. We're going to get back to normal. You got it. And then you got to make sure that I'm bringing my children to church, because that should be something that they understand is a part of our life. It's our custom. It's what we do. Can I get a big amen? All right. And so it was his custom. "Went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood for to read." Now watch verse 17. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all that are bruised.'" He says, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then Jesus says, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So Jesus walks in. You got to understand this. He says, "Give me the scripture." They said, "Well, this is what the prophet spoke." And Jesus reads it. He says, "Today is this this fulfilled in your year, in your ears. Now, you know, some people thought he was crazy, but what he was doing was telling them, I am not just a carpenter. I am the Messiah. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. He says, I didn't come to argue. I didn't come to fuss. I didn't come to debate. I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over. I came to remove burdens. I came to destroy yokes. I came as the anointed one and his anointing. I came as the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And if you will follow me, Jesus said, in my ways, there's nothing that I wouldn't do in your life. And over the next 3.5 years, he goes around preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and signs and wonders were taking place, not some places, but like everywhere. I mean, the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dumb speak and the dead were raised and the blind were receiving their sight. I mean, y'all, he was casting out demons. He was turning water into wine. He was walking on water. He was speaking to the wind and the sea, and they obeyed him to the degree that people started to say, what manner of man is this? Who in the world is this? I'm telling you, Jesus is King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And I don't care what the situation is that you're facing. I don't care what the challenge is that you're facing. I'm telling you that Jesus rules and he is reigns, that he is with you, that he is greater, that you don't have a problem he can't solve. You don't have a situation he can't fix. You don't have a sickness that he's not already healed. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He will give you joy. He will give you peace. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is King. Somebody just type underneath, Jesus is King. My God, my God. Watch this. And then he pulls what the disciples thought was an audible, which was not really an audible, which was actually the plan from the entire time. He tells them, I'm going to the cross to pay the sins for all humanity. Now, you know, Peter and the boys, they didn't want that because they like Jesus being there with him. But he goes to the cross. He dies on the cross. They put him in a grave. 3 days later, he rises with all power. And now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, interceding for you, interceding for me. So I'm here to tell you that Jesus is King. He is King. And not only is he King, that's point number one. I'm going to take you to point number two. He's the greatest gift. And that's what you have to understand. The title of my lesson is Jesus is King. So not only is he King, he's the greatest King. And then number two, my last and final point is he is the greatest gift. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, very familiar point of passage of scripture. For God so loved the world that what happened, class? He gave. And so not only did God give, but he gave us the greatest gift, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you enjoying this lesson? This young man is teaching up in here. This young man is letting you know that Jesus is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords over your life, over your situation. And not only that, he is the greatest gift that has ever been given to you. And so we thank God for everything that you get in the natural, you know, because God wants to bless you with all the blessings. But you must never move away from the fact that he gave me his only begotten son, that I could have eternal life, that when I close my eyes here on earth, I open my eyes in heaven. That's the greatest gift that you'll ever have, because you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. So when you look at this lesson, the central word in this verse is son. When you look at it and you count it, there's 25 words. The first 12 words talk about God. The last 12 words talk about man. And then Jesus is right in the middle. Why is that? Because Jesus came to bring God and man together. He is the bridge. He is the way. He is the door. And he is the greatest gift. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the Living Bible says, God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins, then in exchange poured God's goodness into us. And we like to call that the great exchange. So what happened is he took away all the bad stuff, and then he exchanged and gave us his goodness. And that's why I say, who wouldn't serve a God like we serve? Who wouldn't serve a God like we serve? See, that's the difference between religion and relationship. That's the difference. It's the difference between the words do and the word done. When Jesus was on that cross, he said, it is finished. And when he said it is finished, he means like it is done. I have taken care of it. I have taken care of the sin penalty. I have taken care of everything. It is a done deal. And that is why I tell people that hell is not a place that you go because God is mad at you. Hell is a place you go to pay for your own sins. And my whole thing is, why would you want to pay for your own sins when a loving God gave you his best gift and sent his only son Jesus to die for you? Watch this. All you have to do is receive him into your life. And then if you receive him into your life and make him the Lord of your life, watch this now. You don't have to pay the penalty. He has already paid the penalty. There's nothing you have to do. You have to just receive what has already been done. And that's what I love. That is why I say Jesus is king. Like he be's the man, y'all. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he's done it all, right? And so Titus, the second chapter, in the 11th verse, the Bible says that the free gift of eternal salvation is offered to everyone. And that's what I want to talk to you about for these next few minutes. So, Court, let's go home. I think this is a good place for us to go home. So the free gift of eternal salvation is offered to everyone. Today, I want to offer it to you. Because, you know, there's a lot of you all watching. Some of you are saved and love the Lord, and that's good. But there's people that are watching under the sound of my voice that are not saved, that do not know Jesus, that they don't understand the goodness. They don't understand why I'm so excited up here preaching and why you're so excited online. They don't understand how he helps us and how he causes favor to abound in our lives. They don't understand how he can take away depression and replace it with joy. They don't understand that how he can take away weakness and replace it with strength. But I'm here to tell you, when you accept Jesus into your life, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. That every day you're cultivating this relationship with him, and every day it gets better and better. It gets sweeter as the day goes by. Romans 10:9 just teaches us that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. And it's really, really that simple. 1 Peter 1:3, I love this in the message. It says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the Bible says, and that future starts now. He said, because Jesus was raised from the dead, you have been given and I have been given a brand new life. That's why the writer says, when you come to Jesus, all things are passed away and behold, all things become new. He says, not only do you have this brand new life, but he said, you got everything to live for. Don't you let the devil tell you you don't have anything to live for. Don't you let the devil lie to you because you're in a tough spot. Don't let a few bad days or even a bad season make you think that life is going to be like that. Because God's got so much more for you. And it's just a trick of the enemy to make you think that it's always going to be like this. It's just a trick of the enemy to get you in a state of depression or in a state of weakness or a state of unforgiveness, just whatever it is to cause you to live a bad life. But Jesus said, no. He said, I've already taken care of all of that on Calvary. I just need you to receive me. My last and final scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:2, the latter part of verse 2 says, right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. And my question is, why don't you accept him today? You know, there's a story that there was a guy who had gotten a ticket, speeding ticket, and he had a friend, and his friend was a judge. So one day he went to his friend and said, hey, man, he said, I got a ticket. He said, could you take care of the ticket for me? And his friend, the judge, said, oh, yeah, I'll take care of it. And so, you know, said, ooh, thank God for having a friend who's a judge, right? A few weeks later, he thanks him for dismissing the ticket. And the judge looks at him and says, you know, I didn't dismiss the ticket. I paid the ticket. And now he's like confused. He's like, no, man, I could have paid the ticket. I wasn't asking you to pay the ticket. I was asking you to do your judge thing. You know, that thing that y'all do because you're the judge and you could just do, you know, whatever. His judge friend asked him a question. He said, well, were you guilty? He said, well, yeah, I was guilty. He said, then justice demanded that the penalty be paid. He said, if I'm a righteous judge, then I can't dismiss it because the penalty had to be paid. But don't worry about it. I took care of it. I paid it for you. And many people believe that God, the righteous judge, dismissed our sins, but he didn't dismiss our sins. He paid for them with his only son. And to the degree that you will just accept him into your heart and confess your sins and make him the Lord of your life, the Bible says you've got everything to live for. You're going to have a brand new life and your future will start now. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray this simple prayer and I want you to repeat it after me. And once you pray this prayer, this is the only thing you have to do to watch this, to give your life to Jesus and enter into the kingdom of God. Now, after you become saved, of course, you need to be a part of a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. You need to kind of, you know, start learning the scripture. And watch this. Jesus doesn't change it from the outside in, but he begins to change it from the inside out. And so if you're not saved today, I want you to pray this prayer. If you are in a backslidden condition, or you were saved and you kind of just, you know, went your own way and you're ready to rededicate your life to Christ, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're a Christian and you've made some mistakes this past week, I want you to pray this prayer. And even if you're a Christian and don't feel like you've done anything wrong, I need you to still pray this prayer, because it's going to help those around us that need to pray this prayer. But truth be told, we can all pray this prayer. So I want everyone under the sound of my voice to pray this simple prayer. Say, Father,